was asked to say a few words at Besaros in connection with the day of Tisha B'Av here at the yeshiva. So I have to start off with a confession. And maybe I shouldn't say this in public, but it's something which has bothered me for years and which I've confessed privately within the confines of my own family, somehow I feel a need, just as a matter of disclosure, to share it with the Bnei HaYeshiva in my capacity here at the yeshiva. If I'm going to speak on Tisha B'Av, you should all be aware of the fact that, although it's difficult for me to say the words, maybe it shouldn't be misunderstood, but I really hate Tisha B'Av. Never liked it. Just don't care for it. Certain days of the year that I enjoy and that I look forward to, like Purim, for example. I really like Purim. Purim is a fun day. It's a nice day. I enjoy the laning. I enjoy the Shloach Manos. I enjoy everything about the day. Tisha B'Av, there's absolutely nothing about it that I enjoy. It's all lousy. You go a few weeks without shaving, and you can't wash, and you have to sit on the floor, and you put to take away your pillow at night, so you're not even comfortable sleeping. And everything that we read about for the course of the davening, it's all very depressing. You just sit and you read a Megillas Eicha, which is the most depressing of Megillas. And usually I look forward to Megillas. I like Megillas. I like to lay in Megillas. It's the only Megillah of all of the Megillahs that we lay in over the course of the year that there's absolutely no shita to make a Shechiyanu. You can't make a Shechiyanu or Megillah Sefer. You don't do it. So it's completely bereft and devoid of any aspect of simcha. If you're hungry, you can't eat. And there's just depression in all of the kinos. It talks about destruction. It talks about the abuses and catastrophes and calamities that our nation has suffered over the years. It's all extremely, extremely downbeat, extremely depressing, extremely despondent, extremely disturbing. So I don't like it. It was difficult to speak on a day that I really don't like. Don't enjoy the day altogether. In fact, I made the statement more than once that I would be really happy if Tisha B'Av just went away. Turns out, this is not such an unhealthy perspective. Really, this is what we should all be davening for. We don't want Tisha B'Av. We want Tisha B'Av to go away. So why are we observing Tisha B'Av? The Gemara tells us. Gemara tells us in Tainus, the Kol HaMisabel, HaYushalayim, everyone who's properly goes through this very unpleasant exercise of mourning every single year. Such a person has a hope, at least of meriting to see the simcha that will eventually occur. We're told that the days of Avelus, the prophet tells us, Zechariah, the days of Avelus will be turned to Sasun or Simcha. These will be turned into days of Chagim. They'll be turned into days of happiness, days of joy. So we hope that we will come to the day that we will be able to look forward to Tisha B'Av. But in order to reach the level in which we'll be able to look forward to Tisha B'Av, we have to remind ourselves of just how depressing and how lousy things really are. Because we sometimes can forget how lousy things really are. By the way, the thing that I hate the most about Tisha B'Av, I have to confess to you, and I'm not good at this either, I suspect many people aren't good at this, but the thing that I hate most about Tisha B'Av is the Yisur Shelo Shalom. Most difficult aspect of Tisha B'Av is you pass by people whom you like, people who you're friendly with, people who you respect, and you can't say hello to them. You can't say shalom. Mr. Burr brings down, you shouldn't even say tzafatov. You shouldn't even say good morning. You can't share words of pleasantry on Tisha B'Av. I always thought it seems very rude. It seems very inconsiderate. It's very, very difficult. When a person is a regular Avil, there's also an Isser Sheila Shalom, but somehow they're able to engage in regular conversations over the course of the day, because they're surrounded by people who are Shari B'Simcha. surrounded by people who are relatively in a relatively good state. They come to me, Menachem Avil, and even though the Avil can't say shalom, and nobody can say shalom to the Avil, but conversation is able to transpire, and the whole idea of the exercise is Nechama. The whole idea is one person's being Menachem another. Here we say, Ein Menachem La. Ein Menachem La. Everybody is in a state of Avelus, so therefore there is no Nechama. Nobody is able to offer words of Nechama on Tisha B'Av. It's all very, very sad. It reminds me, a recent trip I took to Eretz Yisrael. I went to Eretz Yisrael with my oldest son. My oldest son is 9 years old. I figure the first attractions to show my son in Eretz Yisrael is the Kotel HaMaravi. Kotel is the grand centerpiece for all tourists and for all spiritual seekers in Eretz Yisrael. Should go and show him the greatness and the grandeur of the Kotel. So he came to the Kotel, and I asked him, did you have a nice time seeing the Kotel? And he said, no, I never want to go back here again. I said, why? What was so terrible about being at the Kotel? The Kotel is the greatest spot. It's the closest to the Kodesh HaKodashim. It's the Beis HaMikdash. It's the holiest spot, the remnant of the Har HaBayis. Why wouldn't you be happy being near the Kotel? So he said, I went to the Kotel, and I saw all of these poor people walking around asking me for money. And I felt very depressed that there are all these people who need money in the world, that they don't have enough on their own, that they have to go begging for sustenance. And I felt that it was just very traumatizing for me. I don't want to go back. And I said to him, you know what? You're the only one here who has a healthy perspective. I go to the Kotel these days. It's hard to find anybody with a torn shirt. I don't know. There used to be a halacha. You go to the Kotel, you tear your shirt. They think it's still such a halacha. I go there. I take out a shirt for kriya purposes. Somehow we become numbed. A little bit. We become numbed over the course of our lives, the course of the year, that we sometimes forget the perpetual state of Chorban that we are all in at all times. Because we kind of numb ourselves with the pleasures of the world, with the comforts that we're zoche to have, even in a state of galus, and we forget about the fact that things are not really the way that they ought to be. My son, 9-year-old, often it's the children who are able to recognize the realities of the world, discern that there's something wrong with a state where you go to the holiest place in the world and there are all these people from Bnei Yisrael who are desperately in need of money. The Gemara tells us that Bizman Shaosim Mitzono Shamakom, that in the ideal state that we should be in, where we should have a Gula Shlema, where we should have the base of Mikdash standing, where everybody is doing Ritzono Shel Malkum, where everybody is fulfilling the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it should be Efes Gluki Lo Yebecho Evyo. There shouldn't be any Aniyim anymore. There wouldn't be any Aniyim who are asking for funds. The fact that we live in a state of desolation, where the Kotel HaMaravi is really an indication of the fact that there still is destruction, that the Beis HaMikdash hasn't been rebuilt. It's just one wall that's standing, but the rest of the area has not been rebuilt. And in fact, there are other shrines that are standing where the Beis HaMikdash really ought to be. So this, in fact, is reason for mourning. It's reason for lamentation. It is confirmed by the fact that we see that we still have problems in our midst. We still have needy people whose needs aren't being properly addressed. Many of the Gedolim, in fact, railed against this notion that when people would come to the Kotel HaMaravi, it's still done pretty regularly, I think, that you have people dancing and singing and having all kinds of celebrations right in front of the Kotel. And they said, how could you have celebrations in front of the Kotel HaMaravi on a regular basis when, in fact, this is a wall that stands and symbolizes the notion of the fact that we have a Chorban, that this is all that's left, is all we have is a wall. Instead of having a fully built the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim and Binyana and Korbanos that are being brought, all we have is one wall that is still barely standing. So that is not a reason for dancing and singing. It's a reason for Kriya. It's a reason for looking at it and remembering just how far removed we still are from the Gula Shlema. So Tisha B'Av serves a very similar purpose in terms of reminding us just how far we are removed from the Geula Shlema, that we shouldn't be deceived by all of the happiness and all of the comforts and all of the good things that we, Baruch Hashem, have been able to appreciate over the course of the rest of the year. We need to have this terrible, suffering, miserable time, day that I personally hate, in order to remind ourselves of the state that we really are in and how we need to lift ourselves above that state. The Rav spoke about the special role of Avelus Yeshana, Avelus Darabim, of this Tisha B'Av, representing a reconnection with a mourning that we might not otherwise always have in our mind, as opposed to a regular Avel who has just suffered a calamity which is very close to his heart, so therefore we don't need necessarily to remind him of that Avelus, and in fact we try to wean him away from his depression. We start with the most intense period of Shiva, then we wean him towards the Shloshim, then we wean up a mourner for a parent to Yud Beis Kodesh, where every single level is a little bit more attenuated than the level before, and so we're able to bring the person back into normal circulation and into a normal mindset. But it's quite the reverse. With respect to Avelus Yeshana, we need to increase, and we need to amplify, and we need to intensify the level of Avelus, explains the Rav, in order to reconnect a person with a state of mourning that he's always supposed to be in, a state of cognizance as to what is deficient and what is wrong with the state that we are in this world right now. And therefore, in the period that is especially devoted to the recollection of the Chorban HaBayis, to a reminder of the Chorban, we intensify the observance from the period of the 3 weeks, where we just abstain from a couple of things like getting married and various simchas and haircutting, to the 9 days, in which we intensify it a little bit more in terms of not doing laundry and other and cutting down on machitza, and until the day of Tisha B'Av, in which the Gemara in Tainus tells us that the observances on the day of Tisha B'Av are basically akin to the observances that one would observe during the 7 days of Avelus. So one other area which has always created a little bit of attention as well in terms of just adding to the misery of the day of Tisha B'Av is also the notion of diminishing one's ability to be able to learn Talmud Torah, the ability to learn Torah. This is also akin to an avil. The Brisa in Maseches Tainus tells us that there's a direct relationship between, in this regard, between an avil and somebody on Tisha B'Av. But just like we say an avil is not allowed to learn Torah, so too on Tisha B'Av you're not allowed to engage in the learning of Torah. So what are we doing now? So there's a loophole. The loophole is that even though you can't engage in the learning of Torah, you're allowed to engage in the learning of Dvarim HaRoim, of things which are depressing, of things which relate to the Chorban, of things which relate to Avelus, to Inyan of the Yomet, talking about the Tisha B'Av itself. I remember in Moresh HaKolo, we used to go to all of Hilchos Avelus in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, for example. So this you're allowed to engage in when it comes to the afternoon of the day of Tisha B'Av. You're allowed to engage in the learning of Dvarim HaRoim. That's very depressing not to be able to learn anything in Torah that you want to be able to learn. So this also impresses upon us the unhappiness of the state that we're in, because learning Torah generally is an actualization of Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chilev, that the words of Hashem are misameach, the words of Hashem gladden the heart of a person. But on the Tisha B'Av, we're not supposed to gladden our hearts. So the question arises, if one is not allowed to learn Torah except for Dvarim HaRoim, does this also constitute an exemption? Does this mean, let's say, that on Tisha B'Av, because you can't learn Torah in the full sense of the normal course, does this mean that if a person says, I don't want to learn Dvarim HaRoim on Tisha B'Av, so then I have the right to choose not to learn Torah altogether? Is one allowed to be Mevatel Torah on Tisha B'Av? Same question is brought up with respect to a regular Avil, whether a regular Avil as well could say, since he's not allowed to learn Torah except for Dvarim HaRoim. There was even a shita quoted in Tosos that a regular Avil can't learn any Torah, even Dvarim HaRoim, because the pasuk for a regular Avil that teaches us that he can't learn Torah is Hei Anek Dom. He has to be completely silent. Maybe that includes even things that are unhappy. While the pasuk that's brought for Tisha B'Av is Pikudei Hashem Yishar Misam Chilev, so it's only Dvarim HaMisamech. So Tosos comes to the conclusion that it appears that the Gemara puts the two together, and just like on Tisha B'Av you can learn Dvarim HaRoim, so too in Avil is allowed to learn Dvarim HaRoim. But maybe they're not entirely identical. The Rav explains that the emphasis with respect to a regular Avil is that a regular Avil is a person who is in a state of Avelus. There's a Chalos Avelus on the Gavra, that the Gavra is in a state of Avelus. Well, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, we don't say that every single person in Klal Yisrael is in a state of Avelus. What we say is that every single person in Klal Yisrael is obligated to be mindful of the fact that there is a Chorban, and we intensify that moment for Tisha B'Av, which is the day that is the manifestation of all calamities that have befallen the Jewish people. So therefore, the emphasis on Tisha B'Av is not on the person being an Ovil per se, but on the person behaving in a manner which is consistent with the actions that will remind him of the Chorban and remind him of the solemnity of the day. So one could make the argument that it is more of a, there's more of a removal from the learning of Talmud Torah with respect to a regular Avel who just emotionally has been removed from the mainstream world of most people, because he's in a state, he's a person who is a person in a velus, and therefore emotionally he has perhaps an exemption from learning Torah altogether, as opposed to on Tisha B'Av, where it's not so much an exemption from learning Torah, but that your focus should be towards inyanim that relate to the day of Tisha B'Av. So there happens to be a shita, the Shevet Yehuda, is quoted as saying that even a regular Avil has no absolute obligation to learn Torah. So the Divrei Yetziv, the Klausenberger Rebbe in his Tshuvos, takes the issue and disagrees with the Shevet Yehuda, and he comes to the conclusion and he says that even if you accept that view, which says that an Avil is in fact exempt from learning Torah, doesn't even have to learn Dvarim HaRoim when he is in a state of Avelus, this would not apply to Avelus Derabim, would not apply to Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, for sure, he's of the opinion, even if you would say leniently with respect to an Avil, Tisha B'Av, for sure, there should be an obligation that a person should engage in learning, even if he has to learn the Dvarim HaRoim, there's an actual obligation that he must learn the Dvarim HaRoim. Somebody came over to me this morning and asked me whether he had an obligation, whether it was appropriate for him to make Berachas HaTorah today. Ties into this general discussion. There's no question on Tisha B'Av, you look in your siddur, the Nusach HaTfilah, on Tisha B'Av, it definitely encompasses Berachas HaTorah. You make Berachas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av. But not only do you make Berachas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av, but it's very, very feasible and very plausible to say that the position of the Divrei Yetziv with respect to Tisha B'Av makes a lot of sense, that you actually have an obligation to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av with respect to Dvarim HaRoim, even though you cannot learn matters that are not depressing. Because if you think about it, from a Hashkafic perspective, this actually makes a lot of sense. We read in the Haftorah this morning that there was all kinds of big confusion as to why it was that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the first Beis HaMikdash. Mi chacham yavena seila? Who is chacham, who is wise enough to be able to understand? Or ma havda haaretz? On what basis the land was destroyed? On what basis there was a chorban habayis? On what basis the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by our enemies? Why is this? Why did this take place? So we're told, Azam is Torasi, that because of the fact that they forsook the Torah. So the Gemara says, what does this mean, Al-Azam is Torasi? The Gemara in Darim says, what does it mean? Obviously, if they had not learned Torah, if the people had completely forsaken the Torah, then it would not have been such a mystery to all the Gedolim and Nevi'im of the time. They would not have been so mystified as to why there had been such a terrible punishment. If in fact nobody was learning Torah, so the punishment was obvious because of Bittul Torah, so that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So it must have been something more complex than that. So the Gemara explains, yes, Al-Azam is Torasi is representative not of the fact that they weren't learning Torah. Everybody was learning Torah. 100% people were learning Torah. The problem was, Ashul Berachu B'Torah Techila. Exactly the question this morning, should I make Berachas HaTorah? The problem was that the people did not make a Berachas HaTorah. So, I mean, they didn't make a Berachas HaTorah. What's the yinyan that they didn't make a Berachas HaTorah? So the Rambam over there explains that the yinyan that they didn't make a Berachas HaTorah means they weren't makshiv the Torah. They didn't learn Torah l'shma. That they did not properly immerse themselves in a learning of Torah with an appreciation of the holiness and the sanctity of Torah. How Torah was really the guiding light of their entire lives. They view Torah as maybe just another subject. You take science, you take math, you take history, you take Torah. So they viewed the Torah maybe as just another subject, and they didn't view Torah as the guiding light of their lives, so that this was something which was on a higher, deeper, more meaningful spiritual level, a way of connecting to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. This was the reason for their punishment. But wait a second. We're also told by the Gemara in Yuma that the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it's not because they weren't learning Torah. It was because they were guilty of the three cardinal sins. They were guilty of Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, and Gilui Arayos. That's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So what do you mean? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because Al-Shalom Berchu B'Torah Tzachila. So some of the Meforshim explain that what this means is that had they properly engaged in the learning of Torah, so then that would have been Megin Aleihem. Even though they engaged in these other terrible sins, it would have protected them so that they would not have been punished fiercely for the fact that a certain segment of the population was guilty of committing these other sins. So I'd like to suggest that maybe one could take a slightly different approach, a slightly different nuance. It's not so much a question that the Torah would have protected them from the punishment for the other sins, but if one's focus is al shebeirchu b'Torah tachila, that a person really makes a bracha on Torah with a proper perspective, that this is something which is on a higher elevated level, that it governs all the dealings of their lives, there would not be a possibility of a person sinning and learning Torah on the one hand and committing averus like shvikus damim, avodah zarah, gilui arayos on the other hand. That the problem was that they weren't imbibing the lessons of Torah. They were sitting and learning it, but not paying attention to having Torah control all of the facets of their lives, having Torah be the instructive and guiding force in terms of their actions. It's a question that's asked in the Gemara in Shabbos, that the Gemara there says that when a person, Achamer Esrim, gets asked the questions, the Olam Haba, so the first question they're asked about what they did in this world was Nasasam and Nasata Bemuna. Did you engage in commerce properly? And only the second question is Kavati Tim LaTorah. Did you learn Torah? Did you set aside time for Torah? So the question Tosus asks is, oh, but Torah is really the first thing that a person is judged upon. So Tosus asks, yes, the first thing you're judged upon, but maybe not the first thing you're asked upon. So what are you asked about? What does that mean? So maybe what that means is that really the first question should be Nasasam and Nasata Bemuna. Did you engage in your dealings in life in a proper fashion? Because if you're learning Torah properly, if you're properly koveitim b'Torah in a way in which it constitutes berachu b'Torah tachila, that you're viewing Torah as the holiest aspect of your existence, as the guidepost towards your entire life, then it's inconceivable that your dealings with fellow man, that your dealings with respect to how you conduct yourself on a day-to-day basis are going to be not be'emuna, are going to be done in an improper fashion. So therefore, the first question is nasasa v'sata be'emuna, because that's megale whether your Torah was on the level that you were not ozev es torasi, where you were in fact having the proper perspective, the proper approach towards Torah study. So when we come to the day of Tisha B'Av, in which we're trying to rectify the failure of being able to properly focus on Torah study and properly understand the role of Torah study in our lives, it seems to make a lot of sense that specifically on this day, this is a day that should not be devoid from Torah study. But it should be a day which is focused on Torah study with an understanding that we need to learn Torah with an appreciation of how to make things better. And since today is a day in which we are commemorating the destruction of the bias, and the way to make things better is to be mis'abel al Yerushalayim, to have a proper mourning for Yerushalayim, for the Beis HaMikdash, so we can be zoche v'roe v'simchasa, so be able to turn this into a happy, beloved day, then it behooves us on this day not to just learn anything that we want in Torah, in which case we're making Torah essentially into our pleasure and our pastime and our leisure activity, but rather to focus on what we need to learn in Torah in order to be able to derive the most benefit from what is the lesson of the day to make us worthy of being able to transform this day from a Yom Avil to a Yom Simcha. And the only thing for us to learn in order to be able to really imbibe the lessons of the day, in order to be able to properly observe Tisha B'Av in a way that we are understanding of the Chorban and in which we will be able to transform ourselves into a state of the binyan beis hamikdash, is if we devote ourselves to the Dvarim Harayim, we remind ourselves of just all of the reasons why this day is a day of mourning and why we are deficient in terms of our current state, so that we can get ourselves out of the current state and make sure that we turn the Kotel HaMaravi into not just a wall that's standing alone in Yerushalayim, but as a functional wall, which is one of the active walls of the Har HaBayis, where there's an actual Beis HaMikdash inside. So therefore, on Tisha B'Av, it may very well be that not only is there a heter to learn Bidvarim Haroim, but there is a real mitzvah to learn Bidvarim Haroim on Tisha B'Av so that we can elevate the nature of the day. Now, the other point that I would make is that that covers the first destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. First Beis HaMikdash was based on the lack of learning the Torah. Second Beis HaMikdash, we're told, by the Gemara in Gittin, was based upon Sinas Chinam. Was based upon the fact that there was baseless hatred among individuals, that they did not treat each other with the requisite respect. So I would submit that here too we are maybe this other irksome inyan on Tisha B'Av, at least for me, is related to this general practice as well, or to this general theme as well. How is that? Because what was the other practice that we just described with respect to Tisha B'Av that we find very difficult? The notion of not being able to engage in Sheila Shalom. So I would ask you, where does this come from that we don't engage in Sheila Shalom on Tisha B'Av? So you tell me, because all the observances on Tisha B'Av are exactly the same as the observances of a regular Avil. But I'll tell you a little secret. You don't find it anywhere in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say anywhere that the practices among the practices that you need to observe on Tisha B'Av because they're observed by a regular Avil is Sheila Shalom. In fact, the basis for the Isser of Sheila Shalom for an Avil is Heyanek Dom. It's the same pasuk that we said doesn't really apply in Tisha B'Av. That's a pasuk that refers to an Avil. Heyanek Dom, you're an Avil, you're in a state, a person is in a state of Avelus, they're an Adam, they have a Chalos Shem Adam HaAvil. And such a person is so emotionally removed from the rest of the world, he has to remain basically silent. We say that doesn't necessarily apply to an individual on Tisha B'Av. The reason we don't learn Torah on Tisha B'Av is not because of Heyanek Dom, it's because of Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chelev, you're not supposed to be in a state of Simcha. So the truth is that the source for not having Sheila Shalom on Tisha B'Av comes from a Tosefta. Tosefta says that ain't Sheila Shalom L'chaveirim B'Tisha B'Av. Chaveirim don't have Sheila Shalom on Tisha B'Av. You know how the Rambam understands that Tosefta? It says that there's no Sheila Shalom for Chaveirim on Tisha B'Av. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tainis, the Rambam in Hilchos Tainis says that this means that on Tisha B'Av, Tamidei Chachamim are not supposed to engage in Sheila Shalom with each other. And if they happen to be approached by a head yod, so they'll reply to the head yod v'safa rafa, then a soft tone, and indicate they're not interested in conversation. What's the focus on the Talmud Chacham? The way that we codify the halach is that it applies to everybody. That ain't shalosh shel shalom lachaveiro. Doesn't say lachaveirim. We say lachaveiro. That's the girsa of the Mordechai. We say lachaveiro. That it applies to a person and his chaver, that they're not supposed to engage in shalosh shalom. But if you think about the girsa of and the understanding of the Rambam with respect to this halacha, so the Rambam is also relating this very much to the special role that is played by Talmidei Chacham with respect to the realization of this halacha. That just as the Talmidei Chachamim on the day of Tisha B'Av are engaged in a serious and somber study of the Dvarim Haroim, So in order to remain focused on being able to focus on the Dvarim Haroim of the day, it's important for the Talmidei Chachamim not to engage in a regular light conversation with themselves, because then they won't be ensconced fully into being able to understand the full or able to appreciate or able to derive the full value of the somberness of the day, so that they can transform the day from a Yom Avil to a Yom Simcha. So therefore, the focus is very much on the Talmidei Chachamim, who are the ones who are engaged in the learning of the Torah, the ones who really are engaged in being able to fully extract the lesson of the somberness of the day. And therefore, if you look at it that way, the halacha of not engaging in a Sheila Shalom on a Tisha B'Av is one which I am able to understand a little bit better. A halacha that on some level I've had difficulty with, based on the fact that if the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed based on Sinas Chinam, doesn't it lead to Sinas Chinam not to say hello to anybody on Tisha B'Av? You know, kind of like, you know, somebody says hello to you, you say, oh. I mean, there's a way of, like, you're supposed to do it politely, but it's kind of difficult. You know, I've had people come over to me on Tisha B'Av very, very happy, because Tisha B'Av, sometimes you go to Shul, especially in, you know, most communities, you see people you haven't seen in a long time, and they come over to you because everyone's together at a big minyan on Tisha B'Av. How are you doing? Whatever. So it's a real problem, you know, being able to respond, being able to keep this halacha. But the purpose of the halacha is not at all to negate the notion that we have to increase our level of friendliness with each other, and then not at all to negate the notion that we have to increase good feelings among men. But rather, the purpose of the halacha, if you look at the original Tosefta, and certainly the way that the Rambam understood the halacha, is simply to keep ourselves focused on the somberness of the day, so that everybody collectively, especially those who understand the Talmidei Chachamim, as the Rambam says, who understand that the goal of the day is to be in touch with the Avelus that we're supposed to feel all year long, with the Chorban that we're supposed to feel all year long, in order to do something about it, in order to uplift ourselves to a proper level of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, we do everything possible in order to avoid communications and conversations that will remove us from the somberness of the day. So much so that if somebody goes over to a Talmid Chacham who doesn't have this appreciation, so Talmid Chacham stays away from conversation with that person as well, but does it b'safa rafa, or does it in a very pleasant fashion of demurring from further conversation and in a nice and respectful way, so that it's not at all a negation of the notion of treating everybody with avas chinam. So in conclusion, one very important point to note with respect to these to the nature of the day and the theme of the day is that it's an active day, meaning as opposed to a regular avil who withdraws from all activities in order to wallow in his avelus. The purpose of the halachos on Tisha B'Av is to actively be involved in a serious consideration, a serious thought process about the fact that we are in a state of Chorban and we are supposed to feel miserable about that. And that we're supposed to take that with us in order to be able to transform the state that we are in to a state of Geula, to realize that as much as we have certain comforts and certain enjoyments over the course of the year, we're very, very deficient in terms of where we can be in relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Me'iri makes a very telling comment in the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos, which contrasts the Avelus of Tisha B'Av as Avelus Derabim with the Avelus of Shiva, which is Avelus Diyachid. So the Gemara there is explaining why there's a Shita, Rabbi Yossi, we even hold this way, who says that one is not allowed to engage in Erisin in a regular state of Avelus for the 30 days of Avelus, one is not allowed to have Erisin. This is the generally true halacha, even with respect to a man where there's no issue of Havchana. Nonetheless, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, when it comes to the Avelus of Tisha B'Av, Erisin is permitted, so much so that Erisin is even permitted on Tisha B'Av itself, and that's how we paskin, the one is even allowed to have Erisin on Tisha B'Av itself. So the Gemara says, you know why that is? Because one is Avelis Tavavim, one is Avelis Tiyakin, one is Avelis Tishon, and one is Avelis Chadosh. So the Mi'vi says, what does this have to do with Erisin? So the Mi'vi says, you know what it has to do with Erisin? Because the Avelis of Tisha B'Av, the nature of the Avelis of Tisha B'Av is that the Avelis itself is a Chatzi Nechama. The Avelis itself is a Chatzi Nechama. It is 50% Nechama. The Avelis is intended as one in which by wallowing in this awareness of the Chorban, one is going to be able to be enabled to enter into a period of rebirth and rejuvenation. And since the whole purpose of the Avelus is to create rebirth and rejuvenation for the nation, that would be in direct contradiction to not allowing for Erisin, which is allowing for more marriages and is allowing for Yisham and Bara Yehuda, Kusas Yeshiva Yerushalayim, Kol Sasan, Kol Simcha, Kol Chasan, Kol Kala. Part of the goal of rebuilding Yerushalayim is to build more families, and therefore it would be in direct contradistinction to the whole purpose of what the Avelus is supposed to serve. So one thing that we should remember is that with all the misery that we suffer on Avelos, and as I said, it's a confession that I had to make, that I happen to hate the day, it's a day that for all that we hate, we need to take seriously and we need to engage in actively in order to take out the lessons of the day, because if we do so, then in Yetzer Hashem, we should be zoche to be able to stir up the nechama, which is inherent within these practices, that we should be zoche v'roe b'simchasa, and that we should, through the observance of the day, we should be able to bring about the Geula by realizing that we need a Geula b'mehera v'yameinu amen.